to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, one page thanks for tax. Somehow, she is Leica on the board. We'll see how this works out. Her first day in charge. Well, Maddie's hovering behind her like an expectant father, for God's sake. Well, S&P futures up 750. Dow futures up 53. NASDAQ futures up 1775. Do we have our gang? Yes, no, we should have Audrey on the phone. And we should also have Nancy Long Graham here in a second. We have news on the Chinese front this morning. They have lowered the reserve requirements like yet again. Like this was like about the eighth time. As they're pouring money into their system. Their system already has issues with liquidity and inflation and everything else, but they're pouring more money in. Lowering the reserve requirement means that for all the money that's in, for instance, if you put $1,000 into a bank and they can loan out 800 maximum, means the reserve requirement is 20%. So if you lower that down to 18%, it means they can loan out $820, and that's how the reserve works. And China continues to lower their reserve requirement, but China's issues are their banking system is somewhat different than ours, and that it's kind of overrun by some of the provincial banks, and so it's not quite as. I don't think the central bank has as much control over what our guys have, or at least used to have, as some of our lending is now splintered off from the banking system. As a matter of fact, boy, you're inundated. People tell me that you're inundated by these loans from people who want to loan people money, take care of their credit card interest for less money than the banks. You would think the banks would be a little bit more competitive, but they don't appear to be. So, interesting days in football. We don't have Maddie on the phone here today, but I am astounded by this saga of this guy from Oakland that ended up in New England. Antonio was a Brown, and he ended up. It turns out out of the gate, Pittsburgh was offered a number one draft pick by New England, and they said no. So they waited and waited. Nobody bettered that offer, and they ended up taking the third and fifth from Oakland. So the guy ends up over there, and according to this article that I have here that I will get in a second, this in the court of public opinion, being America being the way it is, where people are always anxious to take advantage, as we go into what I would consider to be the court of public opinion now, instead of like, you know, people just get on there and their Twitters and so forth is what sort of moves the world. This guy got on and he found himself essentially a Twitter consultant. And Antonio Brown sought advice. There's an article on Yahoo. Antonio Brown sought advice of social media consultants to force the Raiders' release. So there are now consultants that teach you how to manage the court of public opinion. I guess I should expect no less. But evidently they were the ones who said originally, you know, broadcast. First of all, tell me how you got fined. Now the fine was outrageous and you can't play for these guys. And then they had him tape the interview with Gruden on the phone call, which, unless Gruden was notified, which he might have been, it's illegal in most states. I don't know that it is in California, but it sure is here in Illinois. To put somebody, to phone conversation out where you don't let somebody know they're being taped. Of course, now whether they're going to go after him or not, I'm sure they won't, because now you can't go after some celebrity, right? Even though the guy seems to be a, whatever. So now he ends up getting unconditionally cut. And he's in New England, and they don't have to give up the number one draft pick. And the Raiders don't get their 3 and 5 round draft picks back, so it's just been quite the saga. The part about having the consultants, I guess it shouldn't surprise me. It shouldn't surprise me at all. But one other thing that I wanted, before we start talking to the ladies about mortgages and the mortgage industry and how real estate is going, is I don't know how many people listened to the show on Friday, but there was, I'm going to find it here. We had Carl on, and we talked about the labor numbers, obviously. The BLS labor statistics number, and the one I use is, you know, comes from the, I use the A1 number, which is the page that has, been trying to find these things here. We do the PDF. Anyway, there was, I looked and I saw this big bulge in the household numbers. And I'm thinking, where could those things be? Because the day before I talked about how the household numbers were so quiet for the year, basically. And, the one I use is the A1. And it is, well, I'll get that on another page. But basically, it was really quiet for you. It showed only like 300,000 people being employed the entire year. Now, this is the household survey, not the establishment survey. And, so I was like, yeah, I can't wait to get Carl on to talk about this. And sure enough, you know, he comes on, and it turns out there was a, if you actually look at the unadjusted, the number was 1.5 million. Here, the one I look at is A1, employment status of the current population. Labor force statistics in the current population. If you look at this, in the last month, you see 500,000, almost 600,000 new jobs pop in. And there's only been, after 300,000 for like the entire year, and you sit there and you go, wow, that's a little much. Well, Carl, of course, says if you go further down in the tables, you'll find that August is this swing month where people start, they had summer jobs, get fired, basically, and go back to school. Well, I think the demographic there has changed quite a while. I don't know that, I mean, a lot of people that I know whose kids are in college, hell, half of them are off doing something, either at some kind of camp or doing something. And then their mind, they had a job, whether they were working over 30 hours a week or 28 or whatever it is, you know, I honestly don't know. But it seems to me that dynamic has changed a little bit. So Carl came out and he said, no, if you look at the unadjusted numbers, we actually lost 1 million jobs in the household survey, but the adjustment is like 1.5 million. Now, these adjustments, it's like the ones in December. They go back, you know, decades where, but I think people have changed over the decades. I mean, a little bit. I don't think as many people get hired for Christmas. I don't think as many people have summer jobs as they used to. I mean, a lot of the colleges, you know, people are there. If you're playing any kind of sports, you're there in the summer. I mean, I don't know how much difference it is, but it's like it's a little bit difference. Anyway, so the number is really, we lost 1 million jobs, and the adjustment was like 1.5 million. Okay, so that's fine. So all of a sudden, out of the blue, with the number that was considered less than expected, Larry Kudlow comes flying out, Mr. Credibility. And he never talks, nobody of these guys ever talk about the established or household survey, only Carl does, and we talk about it on the show. And he comes out and he says, by the way, have you guys seen this household survey? It's unbelievable. It's a blowout number. 500,000 more jobs. We've never seen anything like it. Now, Larry must know. He must know as much, I would hope. He must know as much as Carl that this is a plug number, that the real number was down 1 million. And I can't believe that he ran and raved about this and what a spectacular job he was doing because of this 500,000 household. He never once mentioned that the entire number per year, for the whole year up until the end of July, was 300,000. And he's just talking about this 500,000 like it was something like out of the blue. It's more like six. And he on the page, and he just kept ranting and raving about it. And I'm sitting there going, we just talked about this and how it's an adjustment number. It, you know, these people don't care. I mean, I'm really surprised. I mean, I would never have known if we hadn't just talked about it. I would never. I mean, my first instinct when I looked at this page was, wow, this is a plug number. Obviously, Carl, that's why we have him on here. He said, no, that's, and he told me to go to the other page here, which is if you go down further, you end up with, I'll see if I can find it just real quick. I had it the other day. It's like the A4, where they have the unadjusted and adjusted numbers. And, here we go. Civilian population, adjusted and not adjusted. We've got seasonally adjusted August 2019, we got 259,000 versus July of 259. The number is up. But if you look at the unadjusted, it's not up at all. So it's just... Audrey, are you with us? Audrey?
Yes, I am.
You are? Good. You just missed my whole thing about unadjusted and adjusted labor numbers.
Well, how much did I miss? 2 minutes?
I don't know. You just missed me accusing Larry Kudlow of being somewhat disingenuous, but that's okay.
Yes, it is. You don't like him anyway.
You know, I don't mind him. I'm just saying that the people employed, if you look at the unadjusted numbers, the people employed were of last month versus the month before. In July it was 158,386. August was 157,816. But if you look at the adjusted numbers, it's up 600,000. So the adjustment is 1,000,006. Even though it was 1 million people less. Now,
Ever been a time in any government reporting where there are not adjusted numbers? Why is this a big surprise?
You don't usually crow about an adjusted number to that extent.
Mm.
But I have a question for you, since you are out and about with the people probably more than I am. The summer jobs number, August has always been a really tough month because obviously back in our day, when you went to college, you came home and the first thing you did was try and find a job. And then, you know, obviously when you went back to school, you basically quit or were canned in August. So August is a big firing month, basically. I don't know that that's, I don't know, I'd have to run into a lot of people whose kids that go to college either don't have a summer job or have something else going on and they work 2-3 days a week. I don't know that they are even full time. I mean, I don't know that it's everybody I knew had a summer job. Even the guys on the football team had a summer job. Well, now, none of those guys do because they got to stay down in school all summer. Do you think the phenomenon is as big where this adjustment should be that big?
I think it's got back and parents don't make their kids work at a job anymore. I mean, you and I have had jobs since we were 16 years old, and now it's more important they play traveling baseball and all those things. So, I don't think I think you obviously have kids working, obviously. But I don't think it's as big a deal as it used to be.
No, I don't think it is either. So I think the adjustment might be a little too big. I don't know that you can.
I think so. You're coming too. I think also possibly some seasonal workers here.
Well, yeah.
You've got seasonal growing, picking, construction, roads. So I think possibly some of those might be rotating out too.
Well, I agree. I'm not saying there shouldn't be an adjustment. I just wonder if it should be the same as it was 20 years ago, which it probably is. You know.
I don't know.
But the phenomenon of that. Plus, to put it blunt, when you and I went to school, I'm going to say my last year at Notre Dame, including room and board, was about $4,000. Tuition was like $3,000. You could make a pretty good dent in that if you worked all summer. I mean, if you picked up a grand during the summer.
That is very true, but that was then, and this is now, and you can't even, of course, the whole other discussion is that two parents have to work to be able to afford a life even now, but that's been going on since, the 70s?
Right. Well, yeah. But the interesting part economically, I know we'll go through this in a second. Is Nancy calling up pretty soon?
I think she is.
All right, well, I'll just say this kind of briefly, is when you look at some of the evolution of our economy, to a large extent, if you go back a long way, it's the same way you're counting numbers that you are in the Chinese economy. And this is absolutely not a shot against two people in a family working. It isn't, because that's what people have to do now to make ends meet. I get that part. And half the time it's the wife making more than the husband. So if anybody's going to be the home person, it probably should be the husband. But the point being is, when the guy worked and the lady stayed home and took care of the kids and did all the stuff, did the laundry and God knows what else, not saying that that was ideal, but what I'm saying is, The GDP picked up just what the guy was making as being economic activity, even though clearly the wife is doing all the rest of the stuff. She's taking care of the kids, doing the laundry, God knows what she's doing to the house, cleaning it, so forth. And
work than you guys just going trotting off to work for the day.
Well, could be, but the point is it wasn't counted. It was a nothing economically, even though obviously It was effort and it needed to be done. So now, when she goes to work, she gets picked up in the economy. All right, so she says she goes and makes $100,000 a year. Well, now probably there's a cleaning lady. Okay, so you're paying for her. There's a there's got to have somebody watching the kids, so you're paying for her. You probably have, well, you can have obviously a better wardrobe and all those other kinds of things. Maybe you're paying somebody to do, you know, cut the grass or whatever it is. Now that all gets counted, even though it's the same job that one person used to do. So now you've got her going to work, that's counted. Cleaning lady's counted. The people who watch the kids are all counted. So now you essentially have three, maybe four people that are now part of the economy and being counted, when in fact you really haven't, the amount of effort, the amount of stuff being done is the same, correct? So you have to be careful. Like when the
well, if you look at this actually as job creation.
Well, but I'm saying it's counted. It's a growth type thing. That's why when you look at China saying, well, how does their economy's growing by 6% and we're only stuck at 2%, how can that be? Well, you still have people in China leaving the farm and moving to the city where now everything is counted versus nothing being counted. Just a real brief Cliff Notes version of if Maddie Weber and I had two farms next to each other and say we hated each other. Even if we hated each other, we might say, gee, Maddie, you grow corn a whole lot better than I do, and I seem to be much better with the dairy cows. The cows don't like you, and I can understand why. But still, how about if you give me some corn and I'll give you some milk? And he goes, okay. Well, now, here's an economy that is now there's trade, but nothing's counted. It's a total barter system. So if we say, well, screw each other, I'm going to go sell my milk in town, and you sell the corn in town, and I end up buying some of your corn, and you end up buying some of my milk, and all this immediately hits the system. But even though we haven't really gained anything, it's still the same thing. Me producing the milk, you producing the corn. So you have to be careful when you compare, like, China to here. I mean, people are, the more numbers we flip around, the more, you know, the less we define them somehow. And I spent two quarters listening to this old dude with 12 people in his class in a building that had 100-year-old air with the University of Chicago. We went through the history of economic thought, and we went through this country after country and how when you started counting stuff, when you didn't, what the growth rates were at various times. And there's a real discipline to the numbers that you like, you sort of like never hear anymore. You know, I got one for you. You know who was in that class with me? I blame name from the past. Remember Steve Schwartz? The Schwartzitron?
Hello?
You remember Steve Schwartz, the guy who invented the Schwartzitron?
Yes.
He was in that class, believe it or not. Big, huge guy with also real stringy hair. He was a character, but boy, he was a genius. Anyway, so all right, what's going on in the real estate world?
Well, we've got all kinds of good stuff. It's looking like it's going to be a busy fall. It's kind of runs into the same thing the market does. It gets over the summer doldrums. And everybody gets back to business. So usually from after Labor Day till at least Thanksgiving, you're still going to see a lot of pickup in activity. You see all the crowd that wants to be home for the holidays, so to speak, get in there. Women like to be in their little nest before winter. So the market has picked up. Interest rates are, you know, clicking along at a really reasonable rate. You've got a nice little drop in rates. You've got homeowner 30-year rate sitting at around 3 7/8 right now, so a lot of incentive to get out there and take a look at a house now.
What are the old phenomenons like? You have to be well, you know, obviously when I was young, if you moved out of the quote square mile, and especially if you went to Catholic school, well, I suppose public school too at the time, you had to go in a new school, and the parents were frantic how they wanted the kids to start the new school day one and not transferring in the middle. Is that still as big a phenomenon? I mean, a lot of kids travel to school now, so it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah, it's. I think it's really interesting that, well, the market has changed in effect. People still do like to have their kids situated because you've got to register and be in the district and provide a bunch of paperwork that our parents never had to. So if you have children, you do think differently and you'd like to have them in for the beginning of the year. But what's changed since you and I were kids is household type of household formation. So it's not like you've got the mom and dad, the 2.5 kids, and the dog. Now you've got singles buying homes, you have couples buying homes, you have couples without kids buying home. You've got seniors moving around. So your group that you're catering to has changed dramatically. So those people are not tied to a schedule. They're going to move whatever, A, the necessity happens, or B, they're going to find a good deal.
Well, the old people don't like to move in January.
No, so they're looking to move. They're looking to move starting in January. They're looking to be purchased and done no later than October. They prefer actually the summer. The big push a lot of time when seniors are moving is you'll see March to July or August, because they already want to know what they're doing for the fall.
You mentioned something. I can't imagine when we moved to St. John Fisher. I don't even know if you had to fill out an application. It has to be a lot different today. When you move into a school system, what do you have to, the application and the history and medical history and all the other stuff you got to put down there must be dramatic to get a kid in school.
Well, you got to prove that, especially in school districts that are desirable to live in, prove occupancy. And they check on the parents now to make sure somebody's not using somebody else's address to send their kid to school. So it's a lot more involved than it used to be.
But if the kid's a good basketball player, they ignore that, right?
No. Not in public schools around here, they don't.
No, in the city, you do.
Tax bases in the suburbs, no, they are all over. You don't get to do that around here. They will boot you out of school.
What is the this week? I mean, when Nancy comes out,
it's not like the college parents, that's for sure.
No, when Nancy comes out, I'll talk about this a little more, but if the federal government is threatening to fix whatever that means, Fannie and Freddie, they're still a part and parcel of an awful lot of loans, aren't they?
Of course they are.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
a lot of backing of the loans, but, it's an integral part of the system, and it still makes it happen for a lot of people that could normally qualify for a loan. You know, that's just that little bit of extra points, extra credit, extra leverage still allows people to enter a home. And it's, you know, people always think that only people who are using, who are low income or struggling are using any type of FHA loan. But that's not true, because you've got loans that are geared to the average price in an area. You're talking a $420,000 loan for people.
You can get an FHA loan for $420,000.
It's a very good purpose.
You get an FHA loan for $420,000?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Certain areas that qualify.
What is considered a jumbo these days?
Let's see. Mostly over $450,000.
And those you have to go find, what, a credit union or a bank or somebody that'll...
No. Jumbo loans are common. It's just, they're not like it was a few... Everything is becoming more available now. Before, you couldn't get a jumbo loan without half dollar after coming out of the recession. Now, you know, you've got... They're there. Things are there. And, you know, like, I'm a big fan. I've used a lot of mortgage lenders and brokers. I don't tend to use banks because they're too...
Hold that thought.
I work with that makes my life as a real estate agent easier.
Well, hold that thought. We got to head off the break. SP Futures up 750. Dow Futures up 60. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. So now we have, let's see, two females on the phone. And you sent your female in here to talk to me during the break. Three, what is our rule? Two, we're never going to break?
I have no such rules.
Oh God! SP futures up 750. I think we're outnumbered, Matty.
And it's well, a that's bad, clear.
It's a bad thing. SP futures up 750. I said
might be a good thing.
Yeah, Nasdaq futures up 1550. Dow 56. We're moving forward here a little bit today. Like we had 2 weeks in a row of being up. We haven't had, you know, the China thing is not till October, so that's not really in the way here. So we got the Fed pouring money in, so I'm a bit surprised we don't leak up for another couple of weeks. DAX up 39.3%, FTSE down 38.5%, as there have been enough of a problem with this Brexit thing. CAC around down 2, call that flat. So one up, one down, one flat. So not much of a guide there. Nikkei up 118.5%, and they were up huge on Friday. Shanghai up 25.8%, Hang Seng down 9, call that flat. So two up and one flat over there. We've got over in the bond 10-year yield, 1.59, almost back to 1.6. It was under 1.5 last week. That's, you know, that's a reasonable move in a week. A bond now, minus 0.6. It bottomed out, I think, at 0.79. Long way down. Japan, 0.25. That's actually slipping a little. We got oil up 30 cents, 56.82 West Texas. Brent's up 25, 61.79. The spread is now almost exactly $5. Between one and the other. Gold up 310, 1518. Silver up 15 cents, 1827. Copper, 262, down a penny. It bottomed out, I think, at 248. There was a difference in the months there, but I think 248, 249. So it's up 13 cents. Maddie, we got for us Traffic Weather Sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We already have an issue on the outbound Edens, Chief. A rollover crash blocking the right lane on the outbound side at Oakden Street. And this is causing significant delays on the Edens in both directions due to the crash. And then gapers on the other side coming inbound just before Oakden. So the Edens is slow moving right now as we head toward the Kennedy. Not too bad, although there is a slowdown on the Kennedy near O'Hare. But further inbound, no issues to report. Eisenhower and Stevenson are okay, but I-55 in the southwest suburbs, right at Route 83, there's a crash that's been moved to the right shoulder, and that's causing some delays. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford are looking good. Weather today, a cloudy day with some showers in the forecast, a high of 75, and then we warm up later on this week. But today, it's going to be cooler by the lakefront, a high of 75 further inland, and some showers in the area. Right now, it's cloudy and 63 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies, a high of 98 today. Right now, it's clear and 83. In sports, the Cubs dropped three in a row in Milwaukee after winning the first game in that four-game set. They really have struggled the last 3 days, and they're paying for it in the standings. We'll get to those in just a second. They fell to the Brewers 8-5, dropping three of four in that series. The White Sox avoided the sweep by salvaging the final game in their series against the Angels. They won 5-1 yesterday down on the south side. Diamondbacks had their five-game winning streak snapped. They fell to the Reds 4-3. So as we take a quick look at the standings, as we do every Monday morning in Major League Baseball.
Turn out the lights, the party.
Yeah, the Cubs not looking so great in the division hunt, that's for sure. 4.5 back of St. Louis at 76-66. Cardinals have won 2 in a row and 7 out of 10. Cubs have now dropped 3 in a row to drop that. They're 4 games back in the loss column. White Sox are out of it, obviously. 63-80, 25 back in the AL Central. Diamondbacks are 75-68. They've won 8 out of 10, even in spite of losing yesterday. They're just a game and a half behind the Cubs for that second wild card spot. Cubs are 3 games behind the Nationals. So that's wild card race will continue here with about 20 games to go in the season. Lastly, it was obviously the NFL opening weekend yesterday. Bears played on Thursday and lost. Cardinals were in action. They rallied back in the second half to tie the Lions in their season opener. 27-27 was the final on that one.
What did you think of the genius coaching decision on the timeout?
I didn't see it.
The I turned on right afterward. Evidently, the Detroit had third down and whatever. And they, if they'd have gotten the first down, it would have been all been over. So, with a second to go, the coach calls a timeout. Stafford doesn't even realize it. Throws a screen pass. They easily get it. They call a timeout, so they bring it back. And then they putts the next play. So they have to punt. And that's when the guys went downfield to score.
So instead of letting Stafford just kind of run the team, the coach tried to nose in there and kind of screwed it up. We've seen that before.
Yep.
Lastly, Sunday Night Football last night, people thought it would be a good one between the Patriots and Steelers, and it was typical Patriots. They just took it to Pittsburgh last night. Blew out the Steelers in Foxborough. 33-3 was the final.
Chief, tell me that guy isn't on something, Edelman.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, the guy is... Plus, what is with... You gotta love... You have to love Belichick with the job he does, but...
I don't have to love him.
They're up 27 points, and he's got every starter in the game.
Oh, yeah, no. He likes to bury, especially an AFC opponent like the Steelers. He wants to bury him.
Well, do we have everybody? Are we up to three females, or what are we doing here? We have Audrey Johnson, Whole Source Realty. We also have Nancy Long Graham from American Financial Funds. Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. We were just starting to get into kind of your area expertise of the state of the mortgage industry, and I've heard you do some masterful work for people, and you seem like you do big buildings, small buildings, suburbs, city. You're ambidextrous. You're everywhere. That's a good thing.
That is correct.
What
one-stop shop?
One-stop shop. What if you had a specialty? Which would you say that is? Just
I think my specialty is more to get someone in before they even make an offer, so that I can sit down with them and get their income versus their spending habits and find out exactly what they're going to qualify for and what program they're going to go into.
How much of an advantage, I mean, I'm sure it's some, if when you go in and decide you like a place and you plunk your, on a floor we'll say bid, you guys say offer, So you put your bid down on the place and you say, I'm already approved. This number is real. Just say yes. It's got to be a huge advantage.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because the realtor always calls the mortgage lender anyways and wants to know what's the probability of this transaction going through. And because I've sat down with the borrowers, I know exactly that they really are going to do what we say, and we can usually close them within 30 days, which is huge because that's almost like a cash offer for someone.
Yeah, well, then you, so what do you, all you have to do is hurry up the appraiser and all the rest of the people so they get their stuff done in 30 days and you're good to go.
That is correct. The appraiser, the title, you got to make sure it's clear title, and then the attorneys. You know, of course, the home inspector always has to earn their fee, so they have to go in and find every little thing they can. And then there's more arguing. So there's things that can get in the way, but it usually just goes like a clock for us because we already know that the person's good. Basically, our pre-approval is an approval before they even get done.
Is he winded? So, when did all this change? You know, I'd pile in if you want. When I bought my house in Beverly, you know, I had an inspector come over, and of course he did a horrendous job. But you walk in and you see the kitchen is horrible, and you see a cockroach walking up the wall. So I knew all that, and I bid them low, and they said yes because they had to leave. The guy worked for IBM, and the wife was out there, shall we say? They had a swimming pool in the backyard for fish.
Oh, like a koi pond.
Yeah, like something, whatever you want to call it. And they didn't really know, they were unclear on the concept of cutting the grass. Anyway, so I gave them a bid that basically reflected all that. I knew I was going to remodel a kitchen and the bathrooms and everything. So I had an inspector come in. I just wanted to make sure that the place essentially wasn't falling down. The idea now it seems like Audrey tells me stories that the inspector goes in and says, well, like, you need the bathroom painted. Well, wasn't it your responsibility to see you needed the bathroom painted? I mean, it seems like it's got to be a whole different program, these inspections.
Well, that is true.
I think things are pickier, but, that's something that, thank God, Nancy doesn't have to worry about because she's got enough to worry about when she's riding herd on everybody. But inspectors are definitely come a long way from when you and I bought our first places. And again, it becomes one more negotiating tool along the way that people do use. A lot of inspectors, especially the ones I use, are awesome, and I depend on them to keep the buyer safe, especially a first-time buyer who doesn't know, a bad roof from a good roof or what's a leaky basement. So you need an inspector to kind of make sure their investment is safe. But you also have to make sure that you just don't go get somebody who's just going to nitpick it to death and have the deal completely to fall apart on things that, are just overkill, basically.
Well, I'm just, I don't want to beat this one up. I'm saying it seems like some of the stuff are things that the buyer should easily have figured out. Hey, you're missing a light in the hall. Well, you just walk through the hall. You should be able to figure that out. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Well, I know what you're saying, but it's that's an extreme situation. It's not something that happens all the time.
Okay.
The majority of the inspectors that are in business, and the ones that are not, they don't survive very long, like anything else. I mean, realtors need people they can depend on, and if you get an inspector that's, doesn't get it, doesn't really know their job, it's like anything else. You either have experience or you went and took a class, and just because you took a class and passed the test doesn't mean you know what you're doing.
Well, that's true. Nancy, there was some news last week on the long, I don't know exactly where you want to put them, Purgatory or someplace, Fannie and Freddie, that the federal government is finally looking towards some kind of a fix of taking them private or whatever. I imagine you guys, I'll ask you, what percentage of the loans that you end up putting out there end up somehow going through Fannie and Freddie?
Everybody winds up with Fannie, Freddie, Federal Home Loan Bank, VA, or FHA. It's just the way it is.
Okay.
All of them get sold off to those five people, and I don't think people really understand that. You can wind up in the bank portfolio, or you could wind up on Wall Street, because Fannie and Freddie do compete with Wall Street.
Well, now, since we haven't done this in a while, I'll take people through the process. If if firms put together 25 loans, they'll go somewhere. Fannie and Freddie essentially one of those places will put some sort of a guarantee on them, and they'll rate them, and then somebody can buy the package, correct?
that is, it gets packaged and it can go to Fannie or Freddie, and that's or FHA or VA. And then when you go off script where you can't do a conventional loan, then it gets packaged and can go in a block to Wall Street.
Okay, and who rates those?
Well, the individual people, they go to like Chase, Citi. Okay. They are just servicers, so they service the loan for the escrows, and then the loan itself always, usually gets sold off to one of those five I already named.
Okay, the jumbos.
And so Wall Street, if you have a loan like for Wall Street, usually it goes through the servicer, and they have a preset amount of things package that they want of things in that package, like credit score. I have actually a bank loan statement where they don't take the tax returns; they just do it off cash flow. And so they have a whole complete set of guidelines that you have to follow, and if you meet those, it goes through. If not, we have to buy the loan back.
When rates go flying down, don't those people? Like when you go do a refinancing, obviously that loan is somebody's getting a check for the principal, not just the interest, right?
That is correct.
So you can't, example I've had of this is my stepfather was always kind of ahead of his time financially. And so he bought into, I don't know who the hell it was. I think it might have been, veterans or somebody. It was like 20 grand he pays into the thing. He gets all these loans, and this is back when interest rates were, 7, 8, 9, and the interest should have been, whatever, 300 a month. He keeps getting these checks, 500, 800. As people go flying through and refinance, he's getting all these principal checks. I'm going to say it probably was a 30-year deal, and in 10 years, he was getting a check for like 20 cents, and finally he got $5, and that was the last loan left. And it never really lasts the whole 30 unless the rates are going the other way.
The average 30-year loan only lasts under 7 years, and so usually they don't last a long. People move, they upgrade, they change their minds, and they move on to something else.
What percentage, if you have, say 3 years ago, or 5 years ago, whatever the number was, you put out 200 loans at 6%, and 4 years later, the rates are now down to 4%. What percentage of those people have you refinanced? Like all of them? Anybody who could possibly qualify? He's got to be in a new loan.
Well, everyone takes those statistics and those numbers. They go to like the Cook County Registry, and they see like in what year these people financed, and then they have calls go out to these people and ask them if they want to refinance.
Oh, really? So it's aggressive. So people can find that out, and you head out and say, hey, you big dummy, you're paying 6% and the rates are 4, basically?
That is correct.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, it's...
That is what they do. So it changes the dynamics of being able to refinance because, family's home life changes, all those things, fly into the equation. So, and now they're going to come out with a new loan product. It's in the works where, like you're saying, you buy the home where you... the cockroaches are there, and the bathroom has to be redone, and the kitchen has to be redone. You're going to get a loan to purchase the house, and then in addition to that, they're going to give you a loan. You're going to get an appraisal, what it will be if they finished it, and then they're going to allow you the loan to buy it. Then you have the contractors come in and fix it, and then they'll give you another final loan that takes out the first loan and gives you a final loan that will allow you to have a newer house. So that will open more inventory for people.
Who pays the contractor? Do you have to float that yourself?
No. It's going to all become part of the loan. They're creating this product now.
That's interesting. So it's going to come out as two separate ones. Then you'll end up wrapping them as one loan when the house is done.
Correct. They'll actually go into one loan, which will actually help the older homes, the homes 30, 40 years ago, more of the starter homes where people want a turnkey when they get in there. This would allow that to happen.
That is a great idea.
Nance, can I ask, who are the theys? I can't imagine a bank being smart enough to do this.
No, it's going to be Fannie. it's going to be either be Fannie, Freddie, and FHA mainly. And the VA is supposed to follow as well. So they're trying to create a system whereby they can take these older homes that sit empty and, you know, don't really have a lot of customers for them because people can't, they can afford to buy the home, but they really can't afford to fix it up. So this will allow both things to happen and create more inventory for people.
Reason why I find this...
And restore neighborhoods. That's a great revitalization tool.
Well, all right, you and I, Nance, unfortunately or fortunately, never had a trading floor experience. I don't know if it's good or bad. But a lot of the people, well, some of the people that Rod and I knew from the trading floor ended up in the home remodeling business or flipping. They weren't flippers, actually. They were buying them and fixing them and renting them out. And they had enough money to do like five or six of the homes. You know, they buy the place at whatever, 90, put 30 into it, it appraises out at 150, they rent somebody. And they did like six of them. So now they're essentially out of their cash. They went to a bank and said, okay, now we have, you know, like $900,000 in homes. We want a $50,000 loan for the next one. You're not getting one. So now what you're saying is maybe somebody other than the biggest people on earth can actually be sustainable in that business, where somebody might say, you've got a track record of putting these homes together, of buying them at this price and putting 30 into them and having them for this. They might actually give you a loan for the whole mess.
No, this is going to be something that's for a homeowner, I think. That's what it sounds like to me.
It's not going to be for an investor. It's going to be for actually a person who would like to purchase them and be a homeowner rather than a renter.
Okay, so an investor, the small investor is still in trouble, basically.
Still, a small investor is still in trouble. This program is not going to help them at all. It's really just for Fannie and Freddie were created, even though they're not a government agency, but then they became a government agency, and then they're fighting whether to let them go back to private. It's for the they created it because they believe every person in the United States should be able to own their own home.
When you were, I'm not saying that you're not 25, you look 25, Nance, but the.
Sure.
When you let's say
celebrate my 35th anniversary of my 25th birthday,
Oh God! Well, let's say back in the day, what was your opinion? I'm not saying the layperson because we had trouble defining it in grad school. What exactly the role of Fannie and Freddie was, and were they guaranteed or not, and where they go? You know, and it was pretty interesting, the difference of opinion. What was your original feel on those guys?
They claim, and they stated that they are not a government agency, but they are backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, and everyone said that if Fannie or Freddie failed, the end of the world would be here. So we've had it where Fannie and Freddie failed, the government stepped in, and I don't think the government realized that they do make money.
The government's made more money on Fannie and Freddie in the last 8 years than they ever lost bailing them out.
That is correct. So I'm not sure why the government would be letting an agency go that is making money.
Well, the idea is, you know, the stock still trades. People still think they're going to get some kind of a court ruling saying they got to get thrown a bone. I don't think we have anybody. We used to have some people here to trade it. I don't think we do anymore. It wouldn't be something I'd recommend, but I don't know if you, Aud might have known this, I don't know if you did, but for the one thing that's different about bank capital in this country versus Europe and Japan is stocks and companies here is not considered good capital at banks. It is in Europe and it is in Japan. So in other words, if you know, Deutsche Bank owns a chunk of Mercedes or Daimler, that's considered good capital. The only stock in this country that was ever considered good capital, I don't know how the hell they got there, was Fannie and Freddie Preferred, and the stock went under, which is really bizarre when you think about it, because obviously somebody somewhere in the Federal Reserve or wherever who's deciding what good capital is sure felt it was guaranteed.
That is correct. It was actually allowed to be held in bank portfolios, which is very unusual.
That's the only one.
That was the only one.
Right now, if somebody, what would you recommend? I mean, who knows where these rates are going to go? They're down so low. You know, they've been here forever, or seemingly forever. But right now, what's the cheapest somebody to get into a house? What if they thought they might move in 5 years? What can you get them on an adjustable?
It's all the same. The yield curve is inverted, and it's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Really?
Oh, honest to God, there's almost no reason just not to take the 30, because a 30-year rate is 3.5, a 15-year rate is 3 1/8. There's so little difference. You'd be better off just taking the 30 and then getting an amortization schedule and paying. It would, you could just go right down the list and say, if I put $2,000 extra down, right, here's what it would be. If I put $500 extra down per month, here's what it would be. And you can just shorten the life of your loan.
Even if you send them another $100 a month, it shortens it by a bunch, right?
That's correct. If you would take your payments, which would be, you know, let's say you paid $100 a month times 12, that'd be $1,200. If you would just take it times 13, it would be $1,300. And divide that by 12, then you've taken 7 years approximately off the life of your 30-year loan, just doing one simple thing. Or, if that's too complicated, just make one extra payment every January.
That would do it. Sometimes Ward and I discuss, never argue, that obviously in the world of, well, let's put it this way, in the world of on TV real estate, people will constantly tell you the greatest time to buy a house is when the interest rates are really low. Yet obviously, somebody who's in the financial community like I am knows it's exactly the opposite of that. But this particular time, I don't see these house prices as being all that high where I would be afraid to buy one at these numbers. I actually think it's probably not a bad deal.
That is correct. That is correct, because we kind of have, everything is kind of upside down. I mean,
kind of the best of both worlds,
yeah,
right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's
right.
The housing.
So we still have the shortage of inventory, and that's your problem. But as far as a time to buy your home and the financing to get it, it's pretty much great time right now.
Well, I mean, I would probably be reluctant to buy a new downtown condo at these prices.
Well, but I mean, think a place, I should want to buy, hurry right up to buy anything in Chicago right now, but that's a whole other story.
Well, I mean, the houses that Aud's selling people, they don't look like they're up all that much from the last. I mean, they're up from 5, 6, 7 years ago, but it's not brutal. It's not like they're 500 grand, and if the interest rate went up 2%, they'd be 300. They seem pretty fair priced to me. Is it? Am I just,
no,
you know?
The prices from, like, remember we saw in 2003, 2004, those prices still are not back anywhere near there yet. So it's more of a reasonable purchase, and you can really just make a house your home. You really can't afford to do that right now. We're in a cycle where that window is here. I don't know how long it's going to last, but it is here. There is a shortage of inventory, though.
We just have enough time yet for both of you ladies to do a shameless plug. Who wants to go first, Aud?
Okay, if you want to reach me, you can email me at AudreyJohnson@realtor.com or give me a phone call at 708-846-6494.
Nance, you?
Okay, you can reach me at Nancy at A as in Apple, F as in Frank, F as in Frank, C as in Charles.us, or you can give me a call at 708-341-9601.
So the way I'm thinking is we don't really break the two female rule unless you both come in. Next time,
power to the chicks, right on.
So if you come in next time, maybe I'll buy you breakfast.
That's a good deal.
That's a deal.
Make me breakfast with the double yolk.
There you go. God. All right. Take care
that
of yourself.
That eggs are two eggs or four.
Oh, yeah. You know what you're seeing in those places now? They're using small eggs. You can tell they're not double yolks. They're cheating.
You can tell I'm a baker and you're not.
Oh, yeah. You take care of yourself, folks. Thank you, guys. We're very informative. SP Futures now up 9. NASDAQ Futures up 14. Come back with Stephanie Koenig.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
One of the stocks we've got up today, we got telephone trading up 9% as somebody took a big stake in it, believe it or not. That's not something you would expect to have happen, but stocks up 351, trading 39.76. That's the news of the morning here. We have gold up 440, just some simple stuff. We'll go through a little bit here. Bonds 1.59. Do we have Stephanie?
We do. Go on.
Hey, Steph, I didn't hear you the first time through. So I thought there was kind of, how are you?
Good, good. And yourself?
Doing good. How's the little one? How's my friend?
Your friend is getting big fast.
She is. She wants to be an adult like tomorrow.
She's very frustrated that she can't crawl and or walk. So yes, she is.
She's just kind of shoving herself around?
She's getting the little butt and knees up and can't figure out why she can't move the rest of her. So it's pretty amazing.
I think As I recall, my mother told me that I was pretty messed up and that I think I walked before I crawled.
You're one of those.
Yeah, one of those really odd ducks. She said she almost had to teach me how to crawl because I was walking already.
And
it says a lot. It says a lot.
Claire,
you know,
kind of goes that direction.
Yeah, it says kind of a weird duck. How are things by you? You haven't been on a bit.
I know. Well, with the holiday and
yeah, you're right.
The
you
lack of sleep.
Yeah, you got aced out by Labor Day. Anyway, what do you? I already did this morning. I was singling out. Friday was a very unusual day in that we had. We've been talking. I mean, you and I, when we talk, just in general, this. I've never seen a more steady flow of misinformation by people. Maybe people always did, you know, tell the whoppers. You know, we've been talking about it with the city. No matter how much, no matter who's mayor, no matter how much they raise the taxes, the plug number for how much they're in the hole is like 800 or 900 million. And then they raise taxes the next year, it's still 800 or 900 million. It never seems to move. So you really almost wonder what the real number is. You know, it's like one of those deals. On say on the federal level, we've got, worried about recession. We're worried about inflation. We're worried about not enough inflation. Yet, if you look around and you open your eyes, it's obviously right there. I mean, it's really bizarre how people, and now this weekend, there's no resemblance to anything. This football player who managed to get himself, Brown, was his name, just get himself, tossed off Oakland. Now he landed where he wanted to be all along. Went out and got himself essentially a Twitter consultant to navigate him through what has increasingly become the court of public opinion. And he got exactly what he wanted because he put the tweets out just the right way. You know, you put out your fine and how insulted and how, you know, disrespected you are by the fine, and people are going to sympathize with you, and what are they fining you for? They got nothing but dough, and blah, 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 blah. Until finally it ended up to where people are somewhat on his side, and there's consulting groups that essentially walk you through the court of public opinion. I wonder, is this something, I'm going to be very charitable here and not say people are a bunch of dummies, because I honestly don't think people are a bunch of dummies. I just don't think people have the time or ability to check all this crap out, basically, Steph, for lack of a better term. I'll use a Southside term. I mean, on Friday, we looked at the labor numbers. I noticed, I'm going to be a little long-winded here for a second, then you can talk forever. I looked at the household survey, and I had been talking all week about how the household numbers were only up 300,000 all year, how it really was like the quietest year of employment growth that we've had in a long time. Not horrible, just quiet. It was only 300,000 in 7 months. And the household survey, and all of a sudden there's this jolt Friday of like 500,000 or 600,000 people. I'm going, where the bleep did that come from? Well, Carl comes on and he explains everything to everybody, how there's this like 1.6 million adjustment every like August where people are being laid off that they still use, even though maybe not as many college kids get jobs. But the actual number, the unadjusted number, was 1 million people less with jobs. Now, and then it's a question of how much the adjustment should be, whether it should be 1.6 million, 1.2 million, 1.5 million, who the hell knows. But the fact is, it's a plug number. So just get done with the show, and they trot out your buddy Larry Kudlow, and he says, well, you don't pay attention to the establishment survey, which is all they ever talk about. You should really look at this household survey because it's a blowout number. It's 600,000 people, and he ranted and raved for probably 20 minutes, 15 minutes, on this household survey number, and it's all you should be looking at, which they never talk about. Steph, it's a plug number. There's not 600,000 people there. I mean, at some point, but I don't. How would anybody who just didn't happen to be listening to us, and I just didn't happen to have Carl on that day to explain to me where the real number was? Do they just assume that 99% of people are never gonna know the truth?
You know, I think some of these things, people start out with the best of intentions. You know, they want to not misrepresent people. But aka college students who go back to school as part of the employment force or whatever. It sounds like a good idea to begin with. And then, it never gets adjusted, never gets changed, and or, ends up actually being untrue, as your point is, in the long run. So, You know, I do truly have to believe that people in general come from a good place, but I think the problem, as you kind of kindly brought out, is who has time at the moment to look into some of these facts? And we've got news organizations that are cut to bare bone, so they don't look into things. They just report whatever comes down on the wire. I mean, I think we're kind of in a... I'm in a position where I question everything that comes out because, like your point is, I'm not sure what's really real anymore.
Well, yeah, I don't understand. I mean, I think you can pretty much take anything, and if you get it out there, I still think even with Trump in office, and he's taking us to a new level of disinformation. You still, your first instinct, if your president says, "Hey, it's Monday," is to believe it's Monday. Even me, as Jonas as I become on this guy and politicians in general, and people in you know corporations. I mean, I think they just decide that there's so much we're so much better off for them being there, that they're such a gift to us that whatever they tell us to make them feel good about them is somehow justified or something. I mean, that's what it's kind of way Lou explains it. They're so convinced. You know, whoever it is, Lightwood, Pritzker, Ram, you name it, Tony Preckwinkle, Trump, they're pretty much all in the same basket, that their egos are so enormous that they will tell you anything because they honestly believe that they are God's gift to something. There's a special class. Even if they have to tell you flat out lies for 4 days to get them to think they're doing a good job, in their mind they are.
I don't know. I mean, I think that's kind of going a little far. So, if you actually look at the budget in Chicago, the problem is that no one exactly knows what the numbers are because all the aldermen have their own budgets. They double count income into different budgets at the same time, and no one's sorted out. You do realize we don't practice cost accounting in Illinois for the state. And so as a result, I mean, their accounting is atrocious. They don't really know what they have and what they don't have. They just know what they spend, and they think they're going to get in. So I was listening to at the Federal Reserve with some of our friends, one of the major economists who's really looked into Illinois politics and our debt, and you know, really proposed a bunch of different ways to try and solve it. And he said the problem is that when you have all these different accounting groups and they all account for a lot of the same money and they not put in any regulation to try and sort through it and or use normal accounting methodologies to account for it, there's almost no way to know what the exact numbers are.
Well, I mean, you just mentioned a term that other than me, I haven't heard in 25 years, cost accounting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in theory, you know, and I'm not an expert on accounting, so please, someone correct me if I say something wrong here.
The way you used it is slightly wrong, if you don't mind me saying so.
No, but
what you're talking about is what states don't do is they use they don't use accrual accounting; they use cash based, which means when you pay a bill. It's not when you get the bill; it's when you pay it. An accrual base. If say for instance, you and I bet $20 on the Bears, and I took the Bears foolishly, and you won $20. If in an accrual based system, I immediately, if I had my personal stuff in the right accounting books, I would immediately put down loss on gambling $20, and then you go on my accounts payable. I owe Steph $20. So I've already taken it out of my income or my balance sheet. If I say, I don't owe her until I pay her, which a lot of people maybe do when it comes to bets on the Bears, that's different. So when Christine, the most famous person of this, not because she's Republican, not because she's a female, imagine that, she being a female, when Christine Todd Whitman ran for governor of New Jersey. This is a ways back. And New Jersey was in a world of hurt. I think New Jersey was actually using the accrual method stuff. Mm-hmm. And she went in and she changed it to the cash method. Well, of course, now you get rid of the entire deficit because you don't have anybody paying. Illinois is on a cash-based system. So when they say our budget necessarily is even, yet they owe people all this money, the minute the next year's income taxes come in, all of a sudden they'll turn around and pay people. They just don't pay you. Okay. So you'll get estimates of how much, like you're talking about, you'll get estimates of how much they are in the hole. But really, I think on paper, they're not in the hole because they just don't pay you.
Right.
Which is really bizarre. And what you're saying is you get so sloppy doing that, you don't know whether you're on foot or horseback. You really don't know what the number is. You see a huge pile of bills on the desk. You're not even opening them.
Well, it's that plus, I think, the way it was explained by this economist was that, you know, you've got the one alderman's budget, and then you've got, let's say the Parks Department, and both of them are claiming some of the same tax income.
That's another whole problem. I didn't realize they had issues with that, but that makes it even worse.
Yes. So they're double counting, you know, their expectations of what money they're going to get from money coming in, which obviously then when you go and you can't afford to pay it because one of the two of you has already spent it, you've got a problem.
But whole industries, a little bit of a history here. I mean, try and educate her a little bit. And my brother Dan's a CPA, so he can do way more about this than I do. But traditionally, before you had this... I'll say this, massive infrastructure in the medical community. If you just went to a regular doctor 40 years ago, those guys were all cash-based. You know, they'd send you a bill. They didn't write that down. I mean, they had a list of the bill, but basically when you sent them the check and they got the check, they took it to income. They never took it to income and had this massive accounts receivable file that you would have somewhere else. But now, like a brokerage firm like we have, I mean, the minute you get a bill, it's considered something you're supposed to pay. So you have an accrual system here. So if you get a bill from an accountant for your yearly audit or something, the minute you get it, it's considered an expense. You don't get it looks like it's our accounting guy's envelope. Let's put that one on the windowsill for 3 months. It's not really a bill. You don't get to do that. But in the doctor's business, why have all that? If the guy's not going to pay me, what's the point of me putting him in my accounts receivable and then 2 years from now having to write it off? Why don't I just, whenever he pays me, he pays me? So it's not like one's all bad or not. Some businesses it matches up for and some it doesn't. And if you and I were in the electrical business, what's the point? I mean, we'd like to know who owes us, but what's the point of taking that income if we know we're only getting paid on 80% of our stuff? Why don't we just when a check finally clears, we'll take it to income, right? But then when you say have whole governments doing that, now you got a problem. Because I don't think they even, like you say, they don't even know what they owe.
No.
And go ahead.
He explained that part of also, too, because the judicial system is not allowing them to renegotiate the pensions, that there's really only two ways out. One, either tax people until you pay it off, which is very, very difficult to do because the amount we owe is just exorbitant. Or you have to actually get into such a default situation that you cannot pay any of your suppliers, and so that's the only way you can declare bankruptcy. So those are, according to him, the only two ways out, and I wish I remembered his name to give him credit, but he works for the Federal Reserve. Smart guy, very interesting.
Steph, is it true? Actually, I'd like your opinion on this since you've hung around with so many lawyers. You're almost an attorney. How's that? What does almost an attorney mean?
I don't know.
Is that good or bad?
There are a lot around.
I actually read, and there's always a pro and con in attorneys, right? That's why everybody has a trial. When one of them, the guy was talking about the pension, And in the Constitution, it says something to the effect, and I could get the real words, that no one's pension may be diminished or something along those lines, correct?
I believe that was in the in the opinion by the...
No, it's actually in the Constitution.
Oh, is it in the Constitution?
Yeah, oh yeah, but then there's the wording. And on the one side, the attorney says, hey, look, this is about as ironclad as it gets, you know. Good luck trying to buck up against this one. But then some other person, man or woman, writes and said, it's totally non-binding because the state doesn't explain where you're supposed to get the money. It's not like you can't be diminished or the state will make it up. It just says it can't be diminished. It's as useless as saying people shouldn't die. Well, you can make all the laws you want. People are still going to die. And they're saying that the whole thing is useless, and it should be almost stricken. And I had never read that sort of an opinion, but if it doesn't tell you where to get the money from, what's it going to tell you? It's going to tell you to keep writing the checks, and if they bounce, they bounce? I mean, there's no logic behind it, is essentially what they're saying. Now, the people that are on the pension have taken it to mean that if there's one person left standing in the state that's not on the pension, he better be pretty damn rich because he's got to pay everybody's bills. I mean, and that's their opinion. And other people are like, hey, I'm barely making it on my own. The last thing I need is to pay somebody 57 years old and not work. I mean, it's building up. I'm talking too much. What is your opinion? Does that second attorney have any grounds whatsoever that the whole article, since it doesn't say where you're supposed to get the money from, it's useless?
Well, I mean, I think there's two different points here. One is that A, it's a really bad written law, and as Stephen would say, you know, I can't believe that we're trying to interpret some of these ridiculously written laws for people who come in and write something down and then expect other people to interpret it. They really need some more advice or more clarity when they write these laws, because it just creates a lot of chaos and a lot of unneeded expense, because now you've got a lot of people who go out and debate this and all that sort of stuff. The one thing that's interesting about law is that it's always, you know, you can argue two sides of any argument. And it was set up that way so that at least you can see two different points of view. You know, for example, I went in and got my, got a ticket for parking on the edge of what was a non-parking area, and I thought I was in a legal spot. And someone else obviously didn't. The point was that we at least have the ability to go in and argue and provide facts to show
their
opinion or my opinion is correct, right?
How'd that work out?
I lost, which is the next point I was going to make. Because the judge who I was up against was, I mean, I think one of the most unfair people I have seen been in front of in a long time. She was not just unfair to me. She was unfair to the guy in front of me and the person after me, because I hung around to watch.
Steph, is this a real judge, or is this one of these municipal appointees where we're not even in the legal system anymore?
I believe it's a real judge. It was in traffic court, and they are, most of them are real judges. But, you know, when you get sent to traffic court to work at traffic court, it's usually punishment for either doing something wrong or not knowing the law or, you know, being politically unviable or something. I mean, you know.
My sticker in front of my house, I ended up going to see this administration guy. And Steph, you've known me, you know, not forever, but a while. I don't think you've ever met a more nonviolent, easier dude to hang with than me.
Yeah.
I was real close to going over to desk at this guy.
I don't blame him. That was about how I felt, too, and the guy before me was about the same. And it made me understand very much why, or explain to one of my friends who was with me, why people cannot stand the government. Because it was just blatantly obnoxious, the way we were treated. And blatantly, she could have sided for us. I mean, both of us had evidence that would have allowed her to, but she just decided she wasn't going to do anything other than, you know, as the guy in front of me said, get the city paid.
Yeah. Well, this guy actually told me, never forget that driving is a right given to you by the city.
Mm-hmm.
I thought rights were stuff that people took from government, not what government gave people. Or am I wrong in this? Evidently, according to him, I am.
Well, it depends. Do we live in a democracy or a republic, or do we live in an...
We're starting to go the other way a little bit,
exactly.
I think.
So, because that really makes a difference in his answer, whether it's true or not.
Well, yeah, it just... It's such a revenue, and I pounded a Tripoli one night, and of course, the street lights are out on this one street where I park. There's all this construction material. I pull in, and all of a sudden, they claim I was too close to this fire hydrant. How the hell they saw that fire hydrant behind the bulldozer, I have no idea. But then I looked and I thought I was far enough away. So I get the thing and I appeal, and I go, I'm too, you know, I was far enough away. Now, of course, in today's world, I had my flip phone. I should have, if I had a regular phone or a new smartphone, which aren't new anymore, I obviously could have taken the picture and maybe gotten away with it or gotten off. And, but the thing comes back. What? I don't get the thing, right? So I call in and I said, by the way, what's the story with my appeal? And the lady says, oh, you were denied. And I said, well, why was I denied? She goes, you're all denied. This is the administrative legend. Everybody's denied. Nobody ever wins. I'm like, okay. I guess that's a position. $75 for in front of a fire hydrant. I mean, a corporation can steal, what, $1 billion, and if they get caught, it's like a $5 million fine. But if you don't pay, like, $2 to park in front of a meter, what is it, $50? It's
well,
multiples
it
of the...
You don't pay.
Yeah. I mean, it's multiples, and yet, if you go up the chain, if you're a bank or some other place that causes problems, you pay some minuscule percentage of what you actually made on the deal. So how can it be that a parking ticket should be like $50 when they're out $2, you know, or whatever? It's anyway. But what do you make of we've put this Chinese thing off till October, Steph. We've got the Federal Reserve, even though our guys don't like me telling them, are pouring in money at a faster rate than any time since 2008, for whatever reason. I mean, they're up at a something like 12% annual rate on the money supply. So they're pouring money into the system, which obviously is going to cause the market to go up even more from here. Although I sense they have to put more and more in to get the same amount of the kick on the upside, which I think is somewhat dangerous. But I don't know how you sell it here in the next couple of weeks, do you? I mean, you got to be ready, you got to be protected, but I don't know if I'd sell it here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, according to a couple of people I was talking to over the weekend, the Chinese are definitely hurting from these tariffs. But you know, they also have a lot more control over their economy, so they may be hurting, but I think we're just masking our hurt, too. So,
I have an article here, Steph, I don't know if you would agree with this. Some alleged, we don't have 30 seconds, but some alleged independent think tank says next year it'll be over $2,000 a citizen, the tariffs.
Yeah, I think it was, what, $1,200 or something?
Well, it was $1,200 for 19. But now, right. if you take the new ones that just went up last week and extrapolate them over all of next year, it's like almost doubled.
And do we realize that, you know, some people who make $40,000-$50,000 a year, how much a percentage of that or annual income that is?
Well, I'll give you two questions because we got to go. Do we realize it, and do we care? Two-part questions, though. I don't think she's here anymore. SP Futures up 10.25, NASDAQ Futures up 21. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Matt Weber and Leica on the board. S&P futures up 9.25. NASDAQ futures up 19. We've been up most of the morning. We were up last night, although we probably reached our, we were up 11 at one point here. Dow Jones up 69. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 39. That's 0.3%. FTSE down 38.5%. CAC around down 2. That's flat. So not much going on over there. Nikkei up 118.6%. Shanghai up 25.8%. Hang Seng down 9. Call that one flat. Again, we've got bonds, 10-year yield, 1.587, which is higher than the 1.49. It doesn't seem very high, but it's reasonably higher than it was last week. The Bund is minus 0.6, Japan minus 0.25, so both of those are, up a little as well. That oil is, up 30 cents, 56.82, Brent up 25, 61.79, we've got gold up 440, 15.19, silver up 19 cents, 18.31, we've got copper 261, which again is higher than the 248, I believe, where David said it could hit the low. What do you guys got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Still working on that significant crash. It actually turned out to be a fatal crash on the outbound Edens just before Oakton Street. It's blocking the right lane as the investigation continues. This happened earlier this morning. State police confirmed that one person is dead as a result of this rollover crash. So a serious issue that's going to be affecting traffic all morning, especially on the outbound side of the Edens. It's affecting the inbound side too. just before Oakton. Montrose to Lake Cook is up to 54 minutes now and in building as this investigation continues. Normal traffic volumes on the Edens, same for the Eisenhower and Stevenson. No accidents or issues to report. Southside expressways have actually been pretty quiet all morning, so that's good news. Off the expressways, we have pretty quiet screen here. No major issues to report, so that's good news. Just one crash out in Naperville, Butterfield Road at Scottsdale Circle. There is an accident. Weather today, lots of clouds, some showers in the forecast as well, a high of 75, a bit cooler by the lake. Right now it is partly cloudy and 64 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, mostly sunny skies with a high of 98. Right now it's clear and 84. In sports, Cubs dropped their third straight in Milwaukee. 8-5 was the final. They lost 3 of 4 in that series, and they head to San Diego this week looking to right the ship. Playing without Baez, without Bryant, all kinds of injuries. Russell got hit in the head yesterday, so he's likely out for a while.
What's the deal with that?
Yeah, we're waiting to find out. There's rumors that they might call up their top prospect, Nico Horner, who is a middle infielder who's been tearing up the minor leagues. But I don't think they had any interest in playing him this year. But now they're in a stretch where they have to start winning some games, otherwise they might miss the wild card. And so there's rumors that he'll be called up. We'll wait and see if that happens. But they are now 4.5 behind the Cardinals, 4 back in the loss column. And they're just a game and a half up on Arizona, who's been streaking for that second wild card spot. Although the Diamondbacks lost to the Reds yesterday 4-3. White Sox beat the Angels 5-1. NFL football, it was the Cardinals coming back from 18 points down to tie the Lions in overtime, 27-27.
It was a good game.
Yeah, it was a good game. Kyler Murray, the number one overall pick, had a very shaky first half and then was pretty darn good in the second half. So hopefully he has a good season. Sunday Night Football.
That guy's got some talent.
It was the Patriots all over the Steelers, 33-3.
So much for the Steelers having a tough camp and everything else. It's a... The receivers are different. Plus, that one guy just...
Well, their two best skill players from last year, Le'Veon Bell, the running back, and Antonio Brown, the wide receiver, are both gone now. Bell's with the Jets, and Brown's about to be with the Patriots. And, you know, Steelers are still very good in many other ways, but you take that type of talent off the team, very rarely are you going to improve.
Yeah. Plus, those guys, the Patriots... A tackle from Georgia, boy, he had a nice night for his first game ever.
Yeah, the Patriots are just loaded, and now adding Antonio Brown. They're always so well coached. Brady's just ageless. He's 42 now. Every ball's right on the money. He never gets touched in the pocket. They're a machine and have been for 20 years.
Yeah, it's really, I don't know how they get a ball. They pretty much take what other people give you. They've got those crossing routes. They've got... When Pittsburgh tried to do it, in a key situation, when you get beat at bad, the rookie runs into the other guy and gets the penalty.
Yeah.
you know.
It's crazy.
David, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Interesting, market we have here this morning, kind of a carry on from the last couple weeks. I had a feeling that with the Fed pouring this kind of money and with the Chinese deal put off till October and then over the weekend, all you hear about the Chinese reducing their reserve requirements again, pouring more money into their system. Every once in a while they decide they got way too much debt and they try and cut back on it. Then they say, oh no, the solution is more debt. But you and I guess think that at some point, wherever the hell that is, that's not going to be the answer. But clearly the point is not today.
No, I get it. I mean, you watch the money supply and beyond that, over the weekend figures, Chinese exports fell in August. Unexpectedly, they knew they'd be down. They didn't think they'd be, you know, negative. And so that's, you know, that put pressure. Japanese government yields 10-year minus 0.26%. So that's the environment.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's an odd world. I have seen those come up a little bit though. The Bund was down to minus 0.79. It's back to 0.6, which doesn't seem like that much, but it is some movement the other way. I mean, it's you think it's not much, but at that level, it is. I don't know how to put a percentage terms on something that's negative. I don't think you can do that, can you? It's kind of odd.
I got to think that there's huge spreads and arbitrage deals between the foreign bonds, Germany, Japan, and ours. Just because of the differential. I got to think there's a lot of that.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, it's sort of hard to deal with the market, type of thing here. But I don't know if you necessarily want to be all in into the upside. But I'm not so sure you want to be short either for the next couple of weeks.
No. Well, once you took that, 2,800, and then especially when you took the 2,900 back, you said, is there a spot where you sell it? And I said, the only way you can sell it now is on the way down. When you take out resistance and close above, regardless of what you think of the market or headwinds or politics or, slowing this, whatever, Fed pumping, you can make all the arguments you want, and there are more negative ones at this particular point than positives. But when you see that resistance go when sellers should have been there and even bulls should have been happy to take the money, and it continues on, you can't. You can only sell it on the way down. I mean, I up here or higher, towards 30.25, 30.30, trying to pick a high with a tight stop or just, do some hedging, another 1% up. Yeah, that's warranted. But I mean, I wouldn't, go all in on the short side, nakedly. That I would not do.
Well, we have, it seems to me, and we talked a little bit about this on Thursday, that we're needing more and more. I made the, with Carl, I made the story like I'm not playing much anymore, but if you play golf and you see guys at like at age 45 at the end of 11 holes, they pop in an Advil. And all of a sudden at age 55.
Hello, sounds like me this last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, at 55, you're putting in three Advil. Well, you get to the point where you're dropping a whole bottle. Just to get through the 18 holes, you're like, maybe this isn't the game for me anymore type of thing. And I get the feeling now that, with the Fed is now pouring more money in than really at any time since 2000. We should have gone through these old highs like dinner through a goose, and we haven't. We're probably going to get there, but it seems like we have to add more and more to get the same effect. That's my observation. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Well, just a little segue for your enjoyment. My son invited me down to Austin. It's kind of our own private bachelor party because he had the real one the week before. He's getting married next month. So I met him in Austin. 105 we played in. With temperature humidity index 111.
Well, how hot is the Gulf? Is every little storm in there going to be a hurricane now or what? Got to be.
It was, well, Jacksonville. They said the Jaguars and the Chiefs that the field temperature was 120.
Wow.
In Jacksonville. That isn't Miami. That's Jacksonville.
Now, is that
120?
Are they grass or are they artificial?
I don't know that.
Yeah,
I think they're artificial, but I'm not sure.
Wow. So how'd you shoot?
So, we played two straight days. Friday was not as hot, maybe 104. I probably shot, mid-90s, which wasn't bad considering everything. On Saturday, when it really, really, really steamed up, and I'm not blaming the weather, I just ran out of gas. I probably was 100, 101.
Yeah, it's when we started doing that. Remember when I was
my son is an 8 handicap, and he shot 91.
We did a shindig with one of the I don't know, big risk management conferences, one of those things I used to go when I was. And a marketing chairman for the SIBO, one of the boondoggles. We were at
Money Show.
No, we're at Bob Hope live out California. It's the town outside of L.A. It's south of there, out in the desert.
Oh, yeah?
Palm Springs, and La Quinta is the spot where Palm Springs became where you didn't want to be for a while. Now, of course, it's all redone and everything. Where it is where you want to be.
Yeah, I've been there.
But we were in La Quinta, and this is when I was young and stupid. It's like 105, and I go out and I hit a whole bucket of balls before we started, which was really bad. It's like 11:30 to 12. I'm out there whacking a bucket of balls.
Oh God!
Yeah. So then we start playing, and it's like a 6-hour round, It reaches the point where
it reaches like, that doesn't really trap the heat.
Yeah, you it reaches the point where it doesn't matter how much water you drink. I almost needed like some Gatorade or something, but I was in pretty good shape at the time. And I'm like, this is just brutal. I mean, what are we doing?
We never. When you drink bottle after bottle after bottle after bottle, which we did, we had jugs of it. The course gave us four bottles, two each, you know, and we brought our own. And my son was drinking Gatorade, and I mean, he's young and strong. And when you don't go to the bathroom, you're so dehydrated that your body says, "I'm not letting this moisture go."
Right.
It's hot.
Yeah, it's bad. And anyway, I wonder, we're just gonna. I mean, September is a calendar wise. Of course, we both of us have decided you can't use this calendar stuff anymore after the last few years. But September is usually October, the month you sort of have to watch out for. And you know, I think it was sort of genius putting this alleged meeting out 2 months. Because I mean, we should be.
Well, why go to the table when you got nothing there? I mean, you have to let the lower levels talk and see if you can write at least some. You know, goals or targets, you know, on paper before you're going to really talk. Otherwise, it makes no sense.
I just, from a worldwide basis, and maybe this is just generational, certainly it is in terms of timing. I would never have thought we could make it this far like this, but wherever you are, every single government, every single central bank, if there's any kind of problem, if every one of those guys got in a room and you put the light up to them, they'd say, the thing that got us into trouble was debt. Yet every solution is more debt.
No, I get it. You know, and then you pile on, at least I won't account for foreign, but I'm sure it's true foreign-wise, too. I mean, corporate's been, you know, piling on. I mean, I heard Apple, $145 billion in cash, and they just floated another big, you know, 10 corporate debt. With the target, yes, product development and increased pay and whatever. I'm not saying it's the only goal, but the main goal is share buyback.
Yeah, it's pretty. It really is interesting but it's becoming such a part of the fabric of society that you can have. You know, it's never they have four talking heads on CNBC. It's four and it's four and it's four and it's four, and you'll have a day when a couple weeks ago when the retail sales were up 0.6%, and income was up 0.1%, and there isn't a soul there that says, "Wait, looks to me like 0.5% on a credit card. Is that good or bad?" The answer is, you have to say that it's good because the consumer is confident. Okay, they're confident, so they're piling ahead with their debt. They think next year is going to be better. I mean, I mean, confidence is better than non-confidence. That part I get, but. It's still the numbers don't, you know, the numbers are bad. I mean, it's nice that people are confident enough. I mean, I read this, I should have kept it, but I did. It was an article about people buying cars today. Now, the average car is $31,000, and they talked about the difference between somebody who buys a car now. And I'm not, you know, that's what a car kind of talks. I guess, of course, you can get one for cheaper if you want, obviously, but basically that's the average car, or a mean car or something. And they're saying that the average salary for somebody now, the mean salary is 36, right? Family's what, 59, pushing 60, maybe a hair over. And they're saying that if you have any kind of a metric, if you put a 2000 or a 1995 metric on it, the thought that you would spend essentially, it's almost four-fifths of a year's salary on a car is absolutely insane. Now, of course, cars do last
longer. No, so it's all leased, and, you know, 5 years, 6 years, I've seen even some 7 year, 0%.
Well, it's 7 year, and the car lasts longer. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you should be driving that car 10 years from now unless unless you're in real estate like Audrey and you're putting 25,000 miles a year on a thing. I mean, you should be driving that thing 10 years from now. I mean, mine's 19 years old.
Well, and that thing, and the statistics say that folks are.
Well, yeah, and so that's the good news. But the bad news is 80% of a year's salary for a car is a friggin' lot.
I know.
You know, and when you start talking, the average loan is $29,000. Somebody just took on, essentially, you know, four-fifths of a year's salary worth of loans to drive around. I mean,
then you look at Texas and, you know, mortgage rates, and what do you have? And that's why the savings is, you know, so low.
Well, yeah, and what I'm saying is somehow this idea that somebody's confident enough to do that. I mean, so now you run the top. The next risk is if we have a recession next year, and one of these think tanks, David. Of course, you can't. How the hell do you believe a think one versus the other? Allegedly, a nonpartisan think tank, if there is such a thing, came out and said next year the tariffs, if you calculate them forward, you're seeing all the this year the number was 1,000 for everybody, and then the last couple of months, if you added in the September 1st ones for the rest of this year, that the number this year probably is going to come into 1,200, 1,250. Well, if you take those numbers and assume nothing changes for all of 2020, it's like $2,060 or something, 2020, for the average family. Well, yeah, that's 5%. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm no economist, and I don't know what figures they're looking at, so I'm talking just in the dark. But when you see Chinese exports to the U.S. drop, you know, 10% in a month, and then be negative overall, I got to think that, you know, you don't have to go to Dollar Tree and buy that bamboo fan. And I'm simplifying it or whatever, but you don't.
Well, what about...
You know, you can buy paper plates at Jewel, and they're still, you know, 100 for... 245. Now, maybe they come from China, and maybe they have upticked from 245 to 260. I can't tell you that.
But how do you
have to consume?
But how do you account for the fact that people here are raising the prices because of the tariffs? And that's what's included. How much people? I don't think the study necessarily was people buying stuff from China. It's how much stuff has gone up because since the tariffs started. Now, Like you know, Dan, president of PTI.
I wonder how they can really, you know, as I said anecdotally, those folks that I met, you know, at a wedding a few weeks ago, you know, were, I was surprised, being frank, I just said, poo-poo Trump, you know, consumers paying everything. And, you know, at least in furniture and then, you know, some textiles and whatever, they literally said about half of it is actually being sucked up by China. I was shocked.
Well, why?
I just figured it was BS, you know.
Spin. We'll walk
and
it through. Walk
that
it through.
The American consumer was paying everything.
No. Walk it. You are paying the tariff. The American company that imports the thing from China is absolutely paying 10%, 15%, 20%, whatever the number is, on that particular shipment that comes in. Make no bones about that. That part's true. Now, what you're asking is, what's the net price to David and Chief and the listeners?
Right.
Now, the answer is, if it's only sourced in China, okay, and it's a blow-up swimming pool for the kids, and it's the only place on earth that it's made, probably you're going to suck up, maybe there might be some other thing, you know, run under the hose instead of having a swimming pool. I don't know if anybody does that anymore. We used to when we were kids, but maybe it goes up 9.6% here because there's no place else to get it. Okay.
Right.
If it turns out it's made in 20 other countries, I'm going to say that the price maybe goes up half of 1%. And if the Chinese want to be competitive, they suck up the other 9.5%. But then there's all kinds of other stuff. What if they're 20% of the market and the people here just want to raise the prices anyway? Like what Dan told us about.
No, I get it.
About auto glass, you know.
I just wonder how any think tank can, you know, go through thousands and thousands of items and calculate who's paying what and what the net effect at the retail counter actually is.
Well, and Morgan Stanley came out with a study 4 or 5 months ago that I suppose I should have kept. And again, David, you have no idea. I have no idea how rigorous these studies are. Is it five people?
Right. And that's what I wonder.
Yeah. Well, but
to me, it's like looking at the statistics from the Bureau of Labor Statistics,
right,
and they still have, you know, men or women carrying ice, you know, rurally to the house as you know, one of the inputs.
Well, I hope it's not a big input, but yeah. but what I'm saying is you don't. Now, their attitude was they felt that China was going to eat, pick a number, 50%. Now, where they got that. Their initial guess, okay, was China was going to eat 50% of it. Eat, not We still pay it, but then they'll eat. There's a difference.
Right. No, I get it.
And they went through and did some study. Now, again, I don't know if it was 10 minutes or 10 weeks with 50 people on it. They claimed that whatever they had estimated, that China was actually eating way less than they thought they were going to have to.
Right.
Now, whatever that means. Now, whether their initial estimate was 50 and they're only eating 40, or whether their initial estimate was 90 and they're eating 10, I mean, I don't know. You know, so I mean, it was a study, but they're all starting to kind of come together to the fact that virtually everything. I mean, the next year, the average family, whatever it is up dough. I mean, you're paying something somewhere, unless you absolutely don't buy anything except I don't know how much it's affected food. You know, but I mean, if you absolutely haven't bought, you know, a new suit or a new pair of blue jeans in 5 years, and you you haven't bought any new furniture in 20, I don't know that it affects you all that much.
Right.
But if you're...
You know, and there's discretionary goods. You know, I have an Apple 6 or whatever, and, you know, until it looks like it's going to die, I don't see the features. Oh, geez, there's more pixels in the camera or whatever. I don't need the 8 or 10 or 10R or whatever. No matter what the plan is, even if it's $5 extra a month, I don't want to pay it. I don't have to.
I will say this. I'll lob this one out there. I won't say it because I'm not positive. I will say the numbers that just recently came out, the retail sales numbers that everybody was all agog with, if you look at, I've been asking now four or five people. I've given them the interview on the street. I'm doing a Howard Cosell with the tape recorder, without the tape recorder. People that have kids, how big of a deal is back to school versus Christmas? And virtually all of them said now back to school is almost bigger than Christmas in terms of...
Some people are saying that it's bigger.
Yeah, it is bigger. And especially if you got to buy a laptop or a tablet or something, which some of the private schools want you to do.
And who knows, maybe that's what the market's reflecting, that, you know, unless there's a deal, maybe Christmas, you know, will be soft, but the back to school is big. They're stocking up. You know,
right,
I mean, Staples is advertising, you know, binders and notebooks and this and that and the other for 25 to 50 cents.
Right. Now, what I'm saying, David, what I'm suspecting is if you start talking about backpacks, you start talking about kids' clothes, you start talking about tablets and whatever else kids need to go to school, pencils, erasers, paper, all that stuff, I'm going to say that whole strip of items is loaded with stuff coming from China and is loaded with tariffs.
You're probably right.
So I think it had a huge effect. This is my guess, and if somebody knows better, please tweet in. I'm going to guess it affected people sending their kids back to school way more than it has you or me.
I don't know that, but I would guess that you're right.
The only thing you bought is for all the golf balls you lost. You got to replace them.
You never really own a golf ball. You
no.
just rent it for a while.
And then, you got to buy it back from the guy who finds it. You know. Thursday, I'll tell you the story about Billy Bear and his the PTI episode where the guy accused me of stealing his golf ball. Only because I did, and not on purpose.
My son, who's so rigorous with every rule. He admitted to a guy that he picked up his golf ball because he couldn't find his. It just looked like it was way, way, way out of bounds from a different fairway. And with trees guarding whatever, evidently the other guy had it way over the trees and he found it and he did pick it up. First time in 15 years I've ever seen that.
Well, mine was right where this guy's was. And they had taught. Anyway, I got on the tee and I hit it across the street in the cornfield. And the guy goes, "Well, I want my ball back." I said, "It's in the cornfield." he was not happy. SPV was up 975. DASFP was up 22. He goes, "Aren't you going to go get it?" I go, "No."
You got a combine?
I'll go over and find it. We'll be back tomorrow. Stacks and Jacks. Thank you, David.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain?
schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.